Welcome to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Stock market, wealth, personal finance, value stocks. Invest in your life.
Welcome to this week's episode of Money Tree Investing Podcast. My name is Kirk Chisholm, and I will be your host today. Today, we have our guest, Jeffrey Levine. How are you doing today, Jeff?
I'm well, thanks. And yourself?
Good, doing well. We're just recovering here from this, the passage of the CARES Act. We brought Jeffrey on because he's an expert in this, and we really wanted to talk about this package. There's a lot of really cool stuff here for individual investors, small business owners. Pretty much if you're breathing and have a pulse, there's something in here for you. So let's start out. Jeff, how did this all start? I mean, we know about the coronavirus, but what's the basis for this whole act?
Well, the short answer here is that the coronavirus / COVID-19 epidemic, pandemic, whatever you want to call it at this point, just has created unprecedented economic damage. In the last 2 weeks now, as we're recording this, we've seen some 10 million people sign up for unemployment, and that is just orders of magnitude larger than anything we've ever seen. So this isn't so much as the typical, like, we're sliding into a recession. You hear that a lot. Or we're going, like, this was basically like overnight, a lot of the country just had to stop. Just business was shut down. So people are losing jobs, paychecks are smaller, and we just have a unprecedented financial crisis on our hands, just because it's not just the financial end of this. It's also a healthcare issue. We don't know exactly when this will resolve. It's really different than any other of the fiscal crisis we've seen in the last 100 years or so.
Yeah, and that's a great point when you're talking about, A, this is something that hasn't been seen before, but the fact that we really don't know where this is going to go from here. In the past, with other crises, you can always look at history as a guide, but here you don't really have too much of a guide here. So let's just start digging into the act, because there's so much here and we have a limited amount of time. I want to just get in here. So people are getting money, right? So every citizen that has a tax return or paid taxes last year is getting money. Can you talk about what that looks like?
Sure. So I would say many of them, probably 90 to 95% of those individuals who filed a tax return or who didn't file a tax return but are receiving Social Security payments, they too will qualify. The easiest way to explain it is every adult essentially is going to get a $1,200 recovery rebate check. And when I say check, it could be direct deposit or check, but essentially you're going to get a $1,200 payment. So a single filer, $1,200, married couple filing a joint return, that's $2,400, 2 times $1,200. And then in addition to the $1,200 for each adult, any adult that has a qualifying child associated with them, qualifying child here would be a child under the age of 17, then that child would contribute another $500, or by virtue of having that child, there'd be another $500 added to their recovery rebate check. So for argument's sake, a married couple with a joint return who have three children get the $1,200 plus $1,200, so $2,400 for the couple, plus $500 plus $500 plus $500, so $1,500 for the three kids, equals $3,900. Now, I call that the base amount, if you will, because while the overwhelming majority of Americans will see some or all of that base amount of the recovery rebate, those who had high income in either 2018 or 2019, whichever is the most recent year that they have on file with the IRS a return, then they could see those recovery rebate checks phased out partially or in some cases entirely.
Yeah, that seems to be the least of what's in the act here, right? I know they push back some of the tax deadlines, right? What did the IRS do there?
Yes. Actually, even before the CARES Act came out, the IRS had come out and said, okay, at first they said, we're going to push back the payment deadline and no one will have to pay, but you should still file an extension. Then they just came out and said, all right, everything is getting complicated. Anybody who has an April 15th tax return deadline, we're going to push that deadline out until July 15th. So that's the new filing deadline for this year. And one thing that your listeners might want to note is that a lot of people think, oh, if July 15th is the deadline, it must be 6 months after that if I file an extension. And as it turns out, the manner in which the IRS extended this deadline means that the extended deadline, if you file an extension by July 15th, it's still only giving you to that October 15th deadline. So that was just prior to the CARES Act. But interestingly enough, when Mitch McConnell first released his version of this, kind of like V1, if you will, of the CARES Act from the Senate, it did have legislatively a change of that date. But ultimately, before the CARES Act was finally passed, the IRS had already extended it themselves.
Nice. Have the states done the same? Have they all followed suit?
It's a state-by-state issue. To the best of my knowledge, I haven't run across yet a state that has not, or has at least not announced that they will. Obviously, some states have higher priority items right now than passing a law and bringing everybody together, et cetera. So every state that I have looked at has either extended it already or has essentially committed to doing so once they are able to actually get together, pass laws, et cetera, and have the time to focus on that rather than things that may be of higher priority at this moment.
What are some of the changes made to retirement plans in this CARES Act?
Yeah, so I would say there's really three key areas that retirement savers have been impacted. The first is that older savers who have hit required minimum distribution age, so those individuals who are 70 and a half or older prior to the start of 2020, their required minimum distribution for this year is suspended, or really better word for it would be it's eliminated. They just don't have to take one this year. And that also applies to beneficiaries who may have their own required minimum distribution. So that's the first big one there that came out of this bill. And it prevents people from having to take money out of their IRAs at depressed values, et cetera. So there's some benefit to that for those individuals who are fortunate enough to be really having the reverse problem of most other people, right? Most of the stuff in the CARES Act is trying to help people who are desperate for income to meet expenses. And the problem, if you will, of having too much money taking out of your account and not wanting to keep it and to put it back in is a very first world problem to be dealing with right now. But nevertheless, there is that relief for those individuals. Outside of that, there's really two other areas, and they're both designed to help individuals either access money that they would not otherwise have access to or to access it cheaper from their retirement accounts. The first is something called a coronavirus-related distribution. And what this is, it's a distribution from an IRA or 401k up to $1 million, excuse me, up to $100,000, sorry, up to $100,000 that is taken sometime in the year 2020 by an individual who either they themselves or a spouse or a dependent has been diagnosed with COVID-19 or that they have been financially impacted by this crisis by any number of reasons. Either they were furloughed, they were laid off, they were quarantined, they can't work because they don't have childcare, because they can't get that right now. So there's a pretty long list for those individuals who may qualify. And if you do, this up to $100,000 coronavirus-related distribution really provides three benefits. The first is that if you're under 59 and a half, there's no 10% penalty. So eliminates the penalty that would normally apply to younger retirement savers taking money from their retirement accounts. The second benefit is that whereas normally when you take money out of your IRA, 401k, et cetera, you must include the distribution in your income for that year. So for argument's sake, if you took $100,000 out of your IRA in 2019, you have to include $100,000 on your 2019 income tax return. The coronavirus-related distribution by default is split evenly over 2020, 2021, and 2022. So spreading that income out over 3 years. Now, investors can elect, if they'd like, to have those distributions all included in 2020. And that may be the right way to go for some people who have seen their jobs cut back on hours or have been laid off altogether. If their income is going to be low this year, that may be a real benefit. And the last key benefit of the coronavirus-related distribution is that from the day after you receive the distribution, you actually have 3 full years to get back that distribution into a retirement account and to essentially complete a rollover and to eliminate the tax bill. So someone might take a distribution today and early in 2023, make a rollover of that amount back into their account, and they would actually be able to go back, file amended returns for these years, and claim a refund for the amount of tax paid on that. So that's a pretty flexible distribution. So those are the first two big benefits for retirement savers. And the final one would be for those individuals who have an employer-sponsored retirement plan, like a 401k or 403b, that offers a loan provision. The loan provisions are relaxed in a number of ways. Most notably, payments this year that would be now through the end of the year are delayed 1 year. And the typical $50,000 maximum cap on a loan from your plan is increased. It's actually doubled to $100,000. So lots of goodies in there for individuals who have retirement accounts.
It sounds like they really opened up a lot of opportunity here for people with retirement accounts to you know, not get penalized, or it sounds like they did a good job. You think this is good enough, or you think they didn't go far enough with these kind of changes?
I think it depends on how long this lasts for. I mean, when this first started, we were hearing statements from some of our political leaders saying this would be nothing. We would have no cases in a matter of weeks. Then it was, we're going to be doing a stay-at-home policy for 15 days. And certain states, like I'm in New York, we're under lockdown for several weeks already. And with what's going on here, it's hard to imagine a change here within the next couple of months. So I think it's really going to depend on how quickly as a country we can get through this and get back to some semblance of normalcy in the economy and get people back working. If we're able to do that, then I think this might be at least a good way of the way there in order to get us through. But if we're in this situation for months longer, people are going to need more checks. People are going to need more unemployment. And there's a lot of that in this bill already. But when you're talking about keeping people out of work, again, 10 million people, 10 million people. Remember, not everybody in this country works to begin with. So yes, we have 380 million people or whatever it is today. But not all of them work to start. When 10 million people lose jobs, that is just a staggering number. I mean, we're talking about potentially getting close to a 10% unemployment rate in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, I think 10% is probably going to be the low number, I would guess. People have already been laid off, and there are many more larger companies who are talking about laying more people off. So what is this, 54% of this country is paid hourly?
It's a very large percentage. Yeah, there's a lot of people who don't necessarily get those steady paychecks via salary, and they're counting on putting in the hours. And man, I feel for those individuals right now. It's brutal. It's terrible.
Yeah, and I wonder if this goes on longer, like you said, if they're going to have to pass another bill. And I don't know. Yeah, the whole thing is just going to be interesting. But I wanted to talk about the small businesses, because there's a lot of information going around about how this affects small businesses. I mean, small businesses are the lifeblood of our economy. Amazon is not the lifeblood of our economy, but small businesses are. I know they put a lot of stuff in here, and then I want to talk to you about what that actually put in here versus the how this will actually be implemented. So what was in here for small businesses?
So it really depends on the situation that the small business finds themselves in. There's a number of provisions in here. The first would be probably the most notable one that people are flocking to, kind of like moths to a light, would be the Paycheck Protection Program, or Triple P, or PPP, however you want to call it. And that is simply an ability for a small business to be able to get a forgivable loan up to 2.5 times the amount of their previous, if you take their previous year's payroll on a monthly basis, 2.5 months of that payroll could be taken as a loan up to $10 million. So for most businesses, they'd have to have more than a $4 million monthly payroll. For a small business, that's an awfully big small business. So most businesses, it'll be 2.5 months worth of payroll that they can get as a Paycheck Protection Program loan that is essentially forgivable if they spend it on certain items. And not only is it forgivable, but that forgivable loan, the income that they would have that's normally taxable when a loan is forgiven, it's going to be non-taxable as part of this law. So it's as close to free money as a small business owner will ever see in their lifetime. And all they really need to do to qualify is be of the right size, which is essentially for most businesses under 500 or fewer employees in the US. And then second, to have a belief that the economic uncertainty provided by the current crisis provides the necessity for the loan, which is a very low bar. There's a ton of economic uncertainty right now. I would venture to say almost any business could claim economic uncertainty. So the only question left is, does that make this loan necessary? And I think many businesses are going to be able to make a strong case that it is. So that would be the first aspect. There's other loan provisions in here. For instance, there's a separate relaxing of the Small Business Administration's the Economic Industry Disaster Loan, the EIDLs. There's some expansion of the benefits that are typically provided under that program. And then there are a variety of employer tax breaks on the employment tax side of things. So we're talking about like FICA taxes, et cetera, Social Security, Medicare taxes. One element would be if a business has been either shut down or partially shut down, or if they've seen a significant drop in revenue by more than 50% compared to the same quarter in the previous year, they may be able for a credit on employer taxes of up to 50% of wages paid to employees, up to a maximum of $10,000 per employee. So essentially, a credit on your business taxes of up to $5,000 net per employee. That's not a small amount of money when you're talking about, it could be 10, 15 employees. Already we're talking about in the neighborhood of, you know, $50,000 to $75,000 of a potential credit against your business payroll taxes. That's pretty significant. And then the last one would be those businesses who don't qualify for some of the above, they may be able to at least defer their payroll taxes. So businesses are able to potentially take the rest of their 2020 payroll taxes and pay only half of them on December 31st, 2021. So almost 2 years from now, or a year and three quarters. And then the other half on December 31st of 2022. So at worst, businesses are probably looking at pushing out some of their liability, which doesn't help with the ultimate amount they owe, but certainly helps with cash flow during this challenging time to try and keep employees on the books. But if not, there are certainly other options that they should be exploring: the Paycheck Protection Program, the Economic Injury Disaster Loans, and then these two employer tax benefits. And they do interact with each other. So doing one or getting a loan forgiven, for instance, under the PPP program, makes you ineligible for either of the other employer tax benefits. So you've got to look and make sure you know what you're doing. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of different options here for small businesses to pursue.
Yeah. So I want to talk about the implementation of this, because we were talking about this before the show, and there's a huge slow motion train wreck, or at least as I've seen it going on right now, where they're trying to implement all this. And I've seen with the EIDL, everybody's saying, hey, you can get 10 grand. Can you talk about what that is and what's going on there?
Sure. So on the EIDL side, there is a potential for up to a $10,000 grant that gets fronted to the business. Whereas on the paycheck protection side, And the loans function dramatically differently. For instance, EIDL loans can be much longer in duration, potentially like 30 years. Their interest rate is locked in at 3.75%. So there's a lot of different ways to go about this. Whereas on the Paycheck Protection Program side, the loan is limited, very limited for its specified purposes. So mostly payroll. In fact, no more than 25% of the loan will be allowed for non-payroll expenses. And even those are somewhat limited in terms of rent, mortgage interest for mortgages that were in place, or certain utilities, et cetera. So there's some real limitations on these that may not apply from one loan to the next. And unfortunately, or fortunately or unfortunately, Congress pushed this through very quickly. I think they basically realized, we've got to get money to the American people. We've got to do something now. We've got to do something fast. Let's write this bill. And they essentially wrote 880 plus pages of law in the matter of about a week, maybe less if you think about it, from the time they really got to negotiating. And so with that said, there are a lot of ill-drafted provisions of this law, and we've even seen regulations released already. And I got to tell you, I've spent the last 2 days talking with accountants all over the country and financial advisors all over the country and even lenders. And everybody has a different interpretation as to how some of the rules work and how we should calculate various elements of this Paycheck Protection Loan Program. So there's a lot that's unknown, and people are just going to have to keep their ears tuned. The pace at which information is coming out is absolutely dizzying. I have never written and talked so much about rules that 24 hours later are not the way they were 24 hours ago. Everybody just needs to keep their eyes peeled and focus on staying up to date as much as possible, simply because, again, today, things are just changing so, so fast.
Yeah. And I'd suggest everyone go to your accountant, have them help you through this, because like Jeff here, we've had similar things. And I think it was last night, the Treasury's website, they put out the PPP interim final version.
Yes.
What does that mean? Is it interim or is it final?
Yeah. It's really one of those things you very rarely see in limited circumstances where they have to get rules out. The term interim final essentially acknowledges the fact that they can't actually finalize the rules until there's a commentary period, but they don't want to wait in this case for the commentary period to tell people that they can rely on the rules. So typically they come out with proposed regulations first, and then they will give a commentary period. And then after the comment period, then they will finalize the rule. Here, they're making these essentially like interim final rules. Like, this is it. You can rely on this as a final rule, but we're going to request comments, and if you'd like, you can forward them to us and we will take them into consideration. And ultimately, we may publish further final rules based on the comments we receive. But at least in the interim, we can rely on that guidance. Now, if only it was clear.
Well, yeah. And then there's obviously the lender side, which we've had conversations as well, and they don't really know what they're doing because they don't know what rules to follow. We've had some CPAs talk to us about they actually helped file some applications, only to find out later that I think last night they changed the calculation around.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yep. They changed a number of things last night. Not only did they change the calculation, they changed the interest rate. They doubled it, which was a real boon for banks. It went from 0.5% to 1%, which I know doesn't sound like a lot to people. But when you're talking about $349 billion, 0.5% is a lot of money that just went into the bank's pockets last night. So there's a lot that is happening and changing on the fly, and things that literally were written in as close to stone as they can be. And Treasury came out and said, the terms are the same for everybody. This is what they will be. And then not more than 48 hours later, we were hit with a, nope, forget about what we said. We've completely changed our mind and it's going to be this instead. So it's a challenging time for us, but it's a time where people like us should relish this opportunity because there's just so many people who need help and we can do more today to help people, give them some relief and relieve some stress that perhaps we've ever been able to do in our lives before. So not the way I'd like to do it, but try to look at the silver lining of things and just perhaps that's it here.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And I think that's the way to look at it is looking at this is really helping a lot of people. And I think with that mindset, that's really the most important thing. So I'm going to wrap it up because I know you got to run. Jeff, where can people find more about you?
They can go to either kitsis.com, so that's KITCES.com, where I am the, this is true, I am the lead financial planning nerd, that's my official title there, or they can go to buckinghamgroup.com, and I am the director of advanced planning for Buckingham Wealth Partners. And obviously, anybody who's on Twitter or LinkedIn, there's always a way to reach out at Twitter at cpaplanner.com, pretty simple there, and always looking to connect with people, get questions, and find out what's on the minds of people today.
Now we're getting into the panel portion of the show where we really get into more details here and really discuss this. So this week we have one of our returning panelists, Barbara Friedberg. How are you doing today, Barb?
I'm doing great, Kirk. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Another day in paradise here, although it happens to be raining. So
well, at least you're by the beach.
Anything by the beach is paradise. And also we have another returning panelist, Kelly Coughlin. How are you doing today, Kelly?
Kirk, I'm doing terrific. And what's this about you hanging out on the beach?
I didn't say hanging out. I said, Barb, I'm at the beach right now. I've decided to turn crisis into opportunity. And we rented a house by the beach for the month of April. My boys were apparently not going back to school. And I figured, well, if we're going to be anywhere, it might as well be in a place with good scenery.
So the rest of the world is in prison and you're at the beach. Is that really what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, Kelly.
All right. Smart move, right? You are pretty smart.
Yeah. I live in the city. So being in prison, I think, would be actually a step up from what living in the city would be right now. We won't get into all the shenanigans that are going on, but yeah.
All right. Well done.
And then also we have a new panelist this week, Garrett Wagner. How are you doing today, Garrett?
Kirk, doing good today. I can tell you I am not by the beach, but in your honor, I will do a beach virtual background today on all my Zoom calls just to live that beach life.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm sure the listeners will want to hear that. Well, let's dig right in. I'm glad we have this panel because, as you all know, Barb, but Kelly and Garrett are CPAs. That's their background. And given this new CARES Act, which just passed about a week and a half ago from when we taped this, there's a lot in this, and we have just, all of us have gotten bombarded with questions about this. This is a huge bill with a lot of implications from individual investors to business owners to just about everybody in our country. It will be impacted one way or the other. So, Garrett, from your perspective, I mean, you and I have been talking a lot about this over the last 2 weeks because as it's got implemented every single day, there's a rule change. Kind of what's your impression on this so far?
You know, the impression so far, this is a great idea. Let's get some money out there into the hands of business owners to keep payroll running and keep them afloat. But clearly, I don't think anybody expected this to be such an overwhelming demand from business owners. I think just about every bank, CPA, financial advisor in the country is just overwhelmed, outnumbered, and isn't quite sure what's going on. So it's kind of tough for all of us. You know, in this time of crisis, we'd like some clarity to make us sleep better at night. But for right now, I think all of us need to hunker down and not get consumed by trying to stay on top of all these changes. These things will pass. These loans will fund. let's try and kind of self-medicate, self-care, and focus on keeping our business afloat and keeping those we work with on the right path, because the chaos can be overwhelming.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Garrett. I mean, you know, we talk a lot, obviously, as an investing show, we're talking about the implementation, but the, you know, the personal care, the mental care right now is really important, and people need to be very mindful of that, or else they really kind of lose out on opportunities, and they can't see this for the opportunity that it is. Kelly, what are your thoughts on all of this from another CPA point of view?
Well, there's a lot I'd have to compress in a 1 minute answer, but I think
you can take 2 minutes, Kelly.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't want to put your audience to sleep with my pontificating for 2 minutes, but certainly the bigger picture, business owners are in pain. Some wise person said, pain is inevitable, but suffering is not. And I look at it as a way to help businesses that are in pain to minimize and mitigate the suffering that they experience. That may be a little too lofty and highbrow, but I really do believe that. This is not a good thing. It's a very bad thing. But inside, I used to like this Chinese proverb that was, that which doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But you know, after this, I don't like Chinese proverbs anymore, and I'll just leave it at that.
I hear you on that.
Yeah. So I see it as a way to help business owners. I really do. That being said, I see it as, I'm 62 and I've seen a lot of economic disasters. And what kind of sickens me about economic disasters is the vultures that circle around. It's a hurricane, then you've got, let's just say you've got the blue collar people that circle around and try to extract revenues. I'm all for people making money off free market, but in a disaster like this, when I see vultures in suits and ties on, right, armed with emails, and they're all just blistering the market with COVID-19 solutions. And I just, it kind of, I've backed away from that. I just don't want to be part of that fray. I want to get back to, okay, real solutions, mitigate the suffering. And that's the position that we're going to take in this situation.
Well, good. Now, I definitely want to get back to that because that's a big topic as well. But Barb, what are your thoughts on this, on the CARES Act, from what you've been able to read so far?
Well, from an overview, I like to think about this from the individual's perspective as well as from the small business owner, because those are the people that really, it's a make or break situation. And so the act itself encompasses so much information and it can be so confusing. And we will put in links to really good synopsises of the act in our show notes. But I think the thing we have to take away from this is most Americans will receive a stimulus payment. And so that's going to be the $1,200 that you will receive. And if you're married and filing jointly and meet certain income limits, you'll receive $2,400 and then $500 for each child. So that's going to be a little bit of a help to get you over the hump. Then there are a whole swath of different small business loans. Those are the things that if you're either an individual or a small business owner, you need to familiarize yourself with. I think if you look at the act in aggregate, you can be totally overwhelmed and saying, I don't know what this is. It's too much. I can't handle it. So break it down for you. See where you fit in to this act and then learn about the programs that will help you stay afloat during this very difficult time.
Yeah. Thanks, Barb. That's a really important point as well, is that, I mean, this act, there's so much there. I mean, there have been so many webinars that I think a lot of us have been listening to from people who are really knowledgeable, or let's just say they're really quick to figure out what's going on so they get the information out there. There's just a lot there and it's extremely overwhelming. I know from my perspective, and I'm sure Kelly and Garrett will be able to share their opinion as well, I've been working with both of them in this past 2 weeks trying to figure out this rollout. And after it passed, a lot of these government agencies have been creating new rules around it and clarifying. And every day, literally every day, the rules are changing. So one of the challenges is doing this by yourself. It's not just overwhelming, but in addition, they're changing the rules as they go because they're not finalized yet. And if anyone's really following this closely, they're probably confused. I mean, I got a text message from a client last night who said, hey, you know, if I make over $1 million a year in revenue in my business, am I not qualified for this? Well, I don't remember that being in the rules at all, ever. I think people are just confused because there's so much information and misinformation being talked about out there. So I want to start talking about how this, because this affects individuals and this affects business owners in large ways. Kelly, in terms of businesses, how are you approaching this for business owners? Like what's really in there that they should be aware of?
First of all, it's a changing, very fungible solution. They're talking about another stimulus package. So given that this is a moving target, our approach, initially, we looked at this as the way everybody does that's in a free market world, say, oh, here's an opportunity. And then as we started looking at it, we realized that, oh my gosh, everybody's out there trying to hustle this deal. Plumbers, electricians, SEO people, financial advisors, insurance, everybody's trying to get a piece of this big $2 trillion cake that's being distributed throughout the economy and take a little crumb from it. And we just thought, oh man, this isn't the way we want to go. Because the cake is constantly being redefined, there are parts of it that we thought, well, you know what? The first two slices of this cake, if I stick with that metaphor, are pretty simple. The initial $10,000 money, you know, they don't need to pay anybody to do that. Most people don't. And then the PPP money. That's a pretty simple application. Now, I'm a CPA, so maybe what's simple for me is woefully complex for others. And so we recognize that others might need some guidance. I live and breathe finance and accounting and all this kind of stuff. So those kind of things are easy for us. And so what we decided to do was just guide them so they can do it themselves. Because we think even the more complex deals, ultimately, it's going to involve an SBA banker type. They're going to be the ones that are the centers of influence on this thing. Because a business owner, the first thing he's going to do is, if he makes the application themselves, is if he's going to the third or fourth tier, and possibly even the first or second round, they'll go to their local banker and say, hey, John, you do my truck loan, you do my building loan, you do equipment loan, all that. What do you think about this deal? Can I qualify for it? Chances are the banker, John, the banker is going to say, yeah, we do those things. I'll take care of you. So what am I going to do to help? All I can do is kind of muck that thing up and possibly alienate the banker. And I just think we want to help guide them, make sure they know there's opportunity, make sure that he knows to go talk to his banker, help him if he needs some, you know, documentation or understand what's going on, but I just educate, inform, guide. If they just don't want to do it, then certainly be available to do it for a fee. But the pro bono information and guiding, I just don't want to get involved in charging for that. People are suffering or people are in pain. Let's prevent the suffering. Let's not be trying to whack them for a fee on this. That's what we're doing on it.
Yeah, that's interesting. From the CPA side, I've heard many, many different opinions on this. And I appreciate, you know, you and I have been talking about this, Kelly, and how the impact is for business owners. You know, Garrett, on your side, you're also working with business owners as well. Like, how are you seeing this impact business owners?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things we're trying to stress right now is to the business owners is stop looking into this, because so many of them will be like, oh man, I spent like the past 2 days like watching every webinar I can on the payroll loans and I'm so confused. Be like, yeah, you should just call us. That's why I called you on Friday morning and said we should do this. Like, let us take this off your plate. Even if it's just pointing you in the right direction, answering the simple questions, You know, because if you're running your business, unlike me and Kelly, your business isn't understanding the tax code and these laws. You're making widgets or whatever. Focus on that. Rely on us to help. And that's what we've tried to focus, and we are charging for help with this, and really try to focus on helping them navigate through the complexity. And we are doing a ton of work with our clients on dealing with their bankers, because what we're seeing is even national banks, regional banks, they are all over the place making stuff up themselves every single day that's not in compliance with the laws and regulations, because either they're confused or sometimes I think they're just trying to take advantage of their clients. And we really had to take a lot of an advocacy role with the bankers on behalf of our clients, so our clients don't get taken advantage of by their lender. So that's been that interesting extra push we've had to do, is really the pushback on the banker side, making sure the bankers understand what they're doing, what they need, and they're on top of the rules that change every day. And the other part that's been really, really interesting in this is how the companies that get the information for the payroll loan, you know, the payroll processors, things like that, how much they've chipped in and helped create specific reports, new solutions for this. I've never seen something like that before. And that's been really helpful. The downside is, you know, for our payroll company, I won't name them, I think every day I get one email from them being like, oh, upon new insight, we've changed our calculation for the payroll loan report. Please click here to rerun. And that's kind of frustrating that it's that constantly moving target. But I think for all business owners, rely on your CPA to help you navigate through this. Figure out the complexities, focus on running your business, taking care of your people, and let us as your advisors guide you through it. Stop watching those webinars, make your widgets, help your people, because this will pass and you want to be better off once it passes.
Yeah. And those are great points, because I think what it comes down to is a lot of business owners right now are, you know, obviously a lot of them are struggling for many different aspects, but in many ways, a lot of them are busy. They don't have time to do this, or they don't have the time to do it. They don't have the understanding of it. The three of us have been talking for the last 2 weeks about this as the rules have been changing. And I would argue that the three of us are at least reasonably intelligent people. We were getting confused sometimes because the rules changed and they didn't make sense, and the T wasn't crossed, the I wasn't dotted. So then they came out with, or the Department of Treasury had a website on this, and there was a rule they called the interim final rule. Well, I don't know, is it interim or is it final? You know, hard to tell. But it was just that kind of stuff that's confusing a lot of people. And on top of this, there's this rumor that they're going to run out of money, which isn't a rumor. They've actually said that they're going to use this program until they run out of money. But I can't imagine that the government's going to say, sorry, there's no more money for business owners. But everyone's lined up. I think when we put in an app a week ago, within a four-hour period, I think there were like 700,000 applications that were put in, some crazy number. So it's kind of like saying, hey, don't panic, but we're going to run out. You know, what's the end result there? Well, everyone's going to panic, right? And they're going to go try to hoard and try to get every dollar that they can. And I think this is just, I think in theory, the government started with a great process. But I think one of the things that we've been running across is the banks. As Garrett said, the banks are in some ways really the bottleneck here. The government is trying to get the money out as fast as possible. And the banks are saying, well, hold on here. We need to increase our standards. And it was very clear that the banks had zero liability. 100% of liability was going to the SBA. And the bankers were saying, well, hold on, we've got too much liability here. And to your point earlier, it's a lack of understanding, I think, in some parts. And I think some parts it's maybe greed-oriented, where they're trying to take advantage of the situation, which is a little bit unfortunate. But I think, unfortunately, it's going to slow down the situation from what I've been seeing. And Barb, what are your thoughts in terms of how this impacts small business owners or should?
Well, I think the three or four different small business loan opportunities, you know, they offer a chance for most small businesses to get a little bit of money to help them through this next difficult period. But the difficulty lies in what the three of you were mentioning, which is the rules and regulations are complicated. The application process is difficult. There's a question of whether the money is going to last. And so it makes it very, very confusing and frustrating for the small business owner who is not a tax accountant in most cases. So I think what we can do here for them is maybe create a skeleton or a roadmap to help them distinguish between the programs, to help them figure out how and where to apply. And one fact I want to put out, or I should say, I hate to say fact because things are changing so quickly, but from what I could tell, the first and main small business loan, the Paycheck Protection Loan, has a window that you can apply between now and June 30th. So I'm not sure if you wait, you know, a little bit of time, whether you're going to be penalized. So I think I'll leave it to the three of you who are more familiar with the ins and outs of the loans than I am, but to help our audience know what is a step-by-step procedure that, in particular, the small business owner who may not be able to get in touch with his or her accountant that quickly or easily, or doesn't have the money to pay the hourly fee to get the additional advice, give them a roadmap of where to go, what to do first. And I think that would be really helpful for our audience.
Yeah, no, that's a great insight, Barb. I would actually ask you, because the next question is going to be, how's this going to affect individuals? Maybe we can start with you. How do you think this is going to impact individuals? Because there's a lot of interesting stuff in here for non-business owners. What in here appealed to you just as an individual who was impacted by all this?
Well, the individual, I think first and foremost, there's a lot of great stuff for the individuals. I think the best part is that every adult gets $1,200 as long as they meet the income requirements and $500 for kids. So that's great. And you have to figure out that's not going to replace all of your income that you may have lost. But I think it's a nice Band-Aid and can lessen the pain a little bit of this transition. So I think that's one of the best opportunities. And until you get that money, although I hesitate to encourage this, make whatever money you have in your emergency fund last as long as it can. Cut back as much as you can on your other expenses. If you need to run up a little bit of a credit card bill, now would be considered an emergency time to do so. That, I think, is number one. Number two is the other provisions of the Family and Medical Leave Expansion Act and the Sick Leave Act. Those are different provisions that can... Oh, and also I want to mention you've got till July 15th to file your tax returns, which is amazing. You know, that's a help for everyone because, you know, filing your returns is a pain. And if you typically paid a tax preparer and you're short on cash, pick up a TurboTax and do it yourself if your return isn't too difficult. So those are two things that I think are really important. The other things you need to familiarize yourself with are the Emergency Family and Medical Leave Act. Those will give you more leeway in taking the 12 weeks of leave for your family or medical purposes. That's a really nice option if you or one of your family members gets sick. I'd say those are the main things that I would hone in on. We do have the paid sick leave, which is eligible employees are entitled up to 80 hours of paid sick leave over a two-week period for COVID-related reasons. So that's great if you get sick. So I will turn it over now to the rest of our panelists to continue.
Well, I think there's a great point in there that I don't want to go understated is, you know, we talk a lot about emergency funds here on the podcast. The concept of what an emergency is almost never defined in anybody that ever talks about it. And it's something we take for granted because we just assume people would know. But if you consider what's going on, I don't know if we're technically in a recession. I would argue we are. I don't think that's clearly defined yet, but we're going to be in a recession and maybe worse. And I would characterize this as an emergency. So don't be afraid to dip into your emergency fund or credit cards or home equity line as needed to get through this crisis. So that's a great point, Barb. Garrett, your thoughts on how this is going to impact individuals or kind of what you're seeing on the front line so far?
Yeah, you know, on the individual side, there's a lot of families where that stimulus check will make a nice big difference and there'll be a good impact on there. The other thing we're seeing on individuals here in New York specifically is the unemployment rate's been raised so high. We're seeing a big chunk of our individual clients and our business clients, their lower tier workforce, just quitting and going on unemployment. With unemployment's paying so much more than they're making going to work every day. And that's caused that extra rub. It's another solution for them, another opportunity to how can they provide for their family in these truly unique and disruptive times. But it's causing an additional wrinkle in there for the business owner clients. They're freaking out. They're losing their workforce because their workforce can make more on unemployment. Otherwise, I think, like everyone said, if this is a time of emergency, you know, band on the hatches, cut back on expenses, and really focus on what's the minimum you need to get through this. Because we don't know how long this is going to last. You don't want to dig your hole deep to get through this, not knowing when the end is going to be. So now's a great time. Cut back on all those discretionary expenses. We've been talking to a lot of clients about that. If it's discretionary, cut back on it. Really hunker down and use this time to, you know, deplug, de-stress. We all get so consumed nowadays with, you know, being online, social media, keep up with the Joneses. Use this as a time to really just kind of deplug. De-stress your family, declutter your life, and use this time to do something positive instead of going stir crazy and buying a ton of stuff on Amazon that you don't need.
Yeah, that's a great point in terms of coping mechanisms. A lot of people use buying as a coping mechanism. And, you know, if anything, people should be doing the opposite.
You know, Kirk, I also wanted to piggyback on the last statement, which is if you're not working now or you're working a lot less, in addition to really making a commitment to figuring out how you can cut back and determine, do a lifestyle evaluation. All the things that you spent money on before, do you really need these things? And are there ways to cut back your subscriptions back, et cetera, et cetera? Although, as an aside, we have a family subscription to Sirius Radio on both our cars. I work from home and rarely drive my car to begin with. So I decided, look, I'm just going to cancel my subscription. Well, long story short, after an hour of trying, I still couldn't get through to try and cancel my subscription. So if you have a little extra time and you have extra subscriptions to things that you don't need, figure out a way to cut back and get yourself a little bit of extra money. And if anyone knows how to cancel half of my Sirius Radio subscription, please let me know, because the website gave me a little trouble on that. So one other thing, though, the reason I interrupted you, Kirk, was there's another side to this, which is, are there ways that you can now figure out how to make some extra money from home? And even a few extra bucks a month can really make a difference in this type of difficult environment. From things to selling stuff you don't need on eBay, setting up a course where you can teach or train somebody on Udemy or one of the other online platforms. Be creative. Do a little research online and see if you can't find a way. Start a niche blog on something that you're an expert at, and maybe you can make some money that way. So instead of just sitting there and watching TV, and look, there is nothing wrong with TV. I love TV, but also see if there's a way that you can maybe do some arbitrage, buy some stuff for cheap on Amazon or on Craigslist and fix it up and resell it. That's the other side of all these advantageous programs that can help us in these giveaways. It could also motivate you to take charge. And look, if you get a side hustle or a hack where you can make a little extra money, even when your income goes back up, it's a nice side income that you can have in place.
Yeah, the gig economy is alive and well right now. And actually, to your earlier point, Barb, I can help you with Sirius XM. That's easy.
Thank you very much. I feel a little guilty putting it out because we have owned it since, you know, we've leased it since 2011. I don't want to throw the company under the bus. I do like it. So thank you, Kirk, for your help.
Yeah. And just for everyone's edification, a lot of these services can be negotiated. It may take a little time, but I think for a lot of people, that's something we have an abundance of. And something like satellite radio, frequently you just call and just say you want to cancel. And many times they'll actually give you a much deep discounted rate because they would rather have you as a subscriber than no income at all. I have my annual negotiation calls with them in a few months, actually, where we have to cancel it. And then they say, oh, well, we'll keep your old rate. Okay. So I think there's some negotiation that can go on with some of these services that even if maybe you're not using it or you're not using enough, you can always call up and ask if they have a better rate, or if you try to cancel many times that they'll actually give you a better rate because they don't want to see you go. So that company, I believe, is one of those. But I think you have to call, Barb. You have to call. You can't do it on the website.
Thank you. Yes, sure. I'm not going to waste another hour of my time trying to figure it out online. So yes, phone is, I'm going to go for the old-fashioned way. Dial up the phone.
Kelly, what about you? What are you seeing for individual clients and how this CARES Act can affect them in a good or bad way?
Well, I look at this as kind of three segments, and they're not just linear segments. Sometimes they're simultaneous. The first is get the funds to sustain the business in any way you can. Now, the reality is that there's an old adage out there that the banker will lend you your umbrella when it's sunny, but when it rains, he wants it back again. The only place to really get funds now is through government guaranteed sources, because the banker wants his umbrella. He's not going to lend the umbrella today in this environment when your revenues are plummeting. So that's number one, get funds. Number two is, from what we see, the real pain is as much dealing with collectors and vendors and landlords that are squeezing these guys. Everybody's getting squeezed, and you know what goes downhill? It all goes down, floats downhill here, and they need help dealing with collectors. I mean, that's a real source of pain. And then the third one is recovering the business. So we see those three elements as being sources of need, sources of pain, and we kind of want to be in there for that. And so what we have done is kind of repurposed a education and information platform that we have. It was designed initially to help businesses and taxpayers with past tax debt, to help them resolve their own tax debt so they didn't have to pay these sharks $5,000-$10,000 to resolve their tax debt. We just use it as a way to educate and inform and guide so they can do it themselves. So what we've kind of done, just like, who was it, GM repurposed their manufacturing to make ventilators, we're kind of repurposing this education platform to help lead, guide, inform. A team of experts can sign up and for free. The experts aren't getting paid for any of this, but any issues that come up related to at least these three things, funding, dealing with collectors, recovering the business, they can get solutions from. Talk to others on the platform, in the virtual open office thing. We just think that's how we want to address the issue, because it's so changing, it's so moving, that creating a webinar today, I think, Kirk, were you and I on a webinar? I can't remember if you and I were on one together, and they preceded it with saying, what follows is going to be a recorded webinar we did on Wednesday, and it was Friday. It's already obsolete, right? So here's how it changed. So there's going to be a lot of movement on this thing. So we think a better way to do it is pull people in and let them ask questions, guide them. I can't remember which one of you said dealing with the bankers, and they go to a bank. It's a perfect opportunity to say, you know, Banker John is telling me I don't qualify. Is that right? And then vet the answer there. I think, because I agree that bankers are kind of giving some pushback on this. In their defense, banks are the most highly regulated entities on the planet, even more so than brokers, I believe, and broker dealers. So they're trying to get their arms around this too. They don't want to screw up. I don't think it's, Kirk, I think you said it's greed, and I think that they're not real great at thinking outside the box, and this required them to kind of change everything about how they do SBA loans. And You know, in their defense, they're trying to get through it also. I don't think it's about greed. It's about not wanting to screw up.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. I think there's a lot of risk management on their part that they don't want to screw up. I think there's some things that you, I, and Garrett have had conversations about in the last few days about some of the things that have been done, which, in my opinion, smell of greed that is kind of not something that appeals to me in the way they did it. But regardless, there's one thing I would actually recommend here, because you brought something up, Kelly, that I think we want to touch on, and then we can wrap it up. Is if you're employed right now and you're considering or you're thinking you might get laid off, now's the time to get a home equity line if you don't have one. Because that is a form of an emergency fund. You don't have to pay for it unless you need it. If you need it, it's good to have it. But if you're unemployed, you probably can't get it. So just think about, as Kelly said, you know, the bankers give you an umbrella when it's sunny and take it back when it's raining. Well, if you're in a strong position, if you're employed, you're getting a salary, you want to shore up your balance sheet. You want to shore up your financial resilience, as I call it. You want to make sure you're financially resilient. Make sure that you've got as many lines of credit as is reasonable. You know, make sure you have credit cards available. Make sure that you have a home equity line available if you need it. Doesn't mean you have to use it, but it's good to have it available so that if you do need it at some point, then you have access to it. So now's the time you want to make sure you have access to cash, ideally, or if you don't have cash available, make sure you have access to credit just in case. So let's wrap it up here. Garrett, any final thoughts as to what you think people should be considering and then where they can find more about you?
Yeah, I think, you know, Kirk, to follow up what you just said, I know some of the banks right now are offering special, you know, up to $5,000 or $10,000, an unsecured loan at 2.5%, 3%, 5-7 years. Once again, that's good money to get now while you still have a job or while they're offering it. It's an extra buffer for you. If you don't need it, pay it back, but get it while it's there. Second point, just to emphasize, because I got 3 emails while we've been on this call from different client questions in terms of bankers saying incorrect things. Ask your CPA for help. Reach out to them. The information from the bankers on these loans is all over the place. It is just crazy. Reach out to your CPA. They're going to help you get through this. And then, yeah, anybody's got questions for me, available all the time. Social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, Garrett Wagner, easiest way to find me. Always happy to help anyone out find that right path forward through these truly unique times.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show, Garrett. Kelly, where can people find more about you?
I'm Kelly Coughlin. That's Kelly at Everyday CPA. So everydaycpa.com is a website for that. But the education platform is at taxresolutionhelpcenter.com. And we're really just repurposing that now. The content on there now is primarily related to tax resolution. But within about 4 or 5 days, we'll have sessions, 45-minute sessions, 6 days a week, probably 10 to 12 per week. You come in, you can come in anonymously, ask questions. We'll have experts throughout the country. I am going to formally invite Garrett to be one of our ad hoc or recurring guest instructors on that site. If you're interested, Garrett, we'd love to have you on.
Love to be on.
I'd recommend all the listeners, both Kelly and Garrett are really sharp CPAs, and they're providing a lot of great resources right now around the CARES Act. I've spent a lot of time with both of them in the last 2 weeks kind of going over all this, and I can tell you it's a great resource. So please check it out, because I think you'll definitely benefit from that. And then last but definitely not least, Barb, final thoughts, and where can people find more about you?
Many of us want to help. We want to do something, even if we're in trouble ourselves. Another benefit of the CARES Act is something that's not discussed as much, and it's called the charitable contributions section. And in the past, you could only deduct your charitable contributions if they were listed as itemized deductions on your tax return. Now, the new rules are that if you give money to a reputable charity, it can be deducted directly from your adjusted gross income. So there are so many charities in need, feeding the hungry and helping out first responders, that you can help others by contributing whatever you can and also get a tax break for yourself. So you can find me at Barbara Friedberg Personal Finance, or at Robo Advisor Pros, where I help individuals with all of their digital investment management needs. Thanks so much for having me, Kirk.
Thanks for coming on the show, Barb. Final thoughts for me, as we kind of look at the implications here, there's a lot here. Talk to your CPA, find somebody like Kelly or Garrett, contact them, or your advisor, assuming that they understand this stuff. We spent a lot of time going through this, and there are a lot of implications in here, which we only touched the surface of what's in the CARES Act. But I would say that if you have retirement accounts and, you know, you're looking to make some changes, I know that if you have RMDs, you don't have to take those out this year. That is pretty interesting. If you have 401ks, you're looking at 401k, taking a 401k loan or something of that nature, there's a lot in there to update that. But overall, it's just a lot of stuff. And I've heard a lot of misinformation, as was alluded to by our three panelists here. You just need to find somebody who understands this stuff inside and out to help you, because the last thing you want to do is make a mistake. And even some of the rules, like the 401k changes, they've changed the rules, but if your 401k plan has not updated their plan documents, then they're technically, it's not enforced yet. So there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle that need to be vetted, since this is such a new thing. As of the recording, this has been out for about a week and a half. So just be aware. But that's it for the show this week. My name's Kirk Chisholm. I'm a wealth manager at Innovative Advisory Group. We don't just manage your wealth, we make your life better. So you can find more about me at innovativewealth.com. And of course, you can find me every week here on the show. So thanks again for joining us in Money Tree Investing Podcasts. Please remember to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Play. You can also check out our show at moneytreepodcast.com. On our website, you'll be able to access all the show notes, the resources, as well as archive shows. And lastly, please leave a show rating and comments on the podcast app of your choice. It really helps us get access to some of the best quality guests, which we have quite a few coming up here. So have a great week ahead. And remember, no one will care about your money like you do. So invest in your life.
Thank you for listening to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Visit us at moneytreepodcast.com for more free investing resources.